I don't know about you, that when I stop and think about that song,
yes, sir,
it brings to mind some things that a child of God must learn to do.
Amen.
See, when trouble is in your way, what do you really do? And that song said, when trouble's in my home,
mm-hmm,
I gotta pray sometime.
Right.
And I'm learning that when it's in your home, you better pray.
Amen.
So trouble will get out of the way. It's good to see everybody this morning. I hope and pray all is well with you. I appreciate your prayers and your thoughts and concerns for us as Satan is just trying his best to destroy the believer.
Yeah.
Notice I didn't say me. The believer. He has but one purpose, and that purpose is to make sure that you and I don't make heaven our home. And so the only way he can really get to you and I is he's got to throw all of these obstacles in our way.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to help us to see that God is not who he say he is, but I can give you everything you need. And we bought into it to the point to where Satan knows that he can has the victory if I can sway you from the truth. John chapter 4 and verse number 24. The Bible says, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. And church, and I'm learning the more we stay with the Word of God, the more we allow the Word of God to be the motivating factor in our lives, the more we'll be able to overcome Satan and his devices. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Satan knows what he's doing. The question is, do we know what we're doing? Because he has a goal, he has a mission, and that is to move every one of us from our steadfastness. Once again, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38, with the title, God Has a Harvest. And I want to show us this morning that God has a harvest. And in this harvest, Jesus says, there's only a few people that is in this harvest. And I want to show you from God's past, present, and right now, that he still only had a few people that want to work in the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, when I think of the word harvest, I've been looking at what God is really trying to do in his harvest. He's trying to get you and I to see that if it's time to wake up, look at the world in which we live in. We are living in some perilous times. And the question is, what do we expect to get out of these times? I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to heaven. Now, don't misunderstand that. God, I'm not in a hurry. But if you call me, I'm ready to go.
Yes,
why? Because I know eternal life waits on the other end. Look at what he says. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I put this word up here for a reason. Because when I started looking at the harvest, I had to stop and think about God has a harvest.
Yes, sir.
And that harvest is designed to go out into this world and bring the lost to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm part of this harvest, then I must understand God wants me to do something, right?
Yeah.
You know, when I think of this word harvest, the H, I think of heaven, and God's throne is in heaven. And you need to understand that if God's in heaven, then that means he's looking down for you and I to get busy in this harvest. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 34, the heaven is God's throne. And I believe that he's there for the reason to get you and I to see our purpose on this time side of life. Not only is God is in heaven, but you know, God requires those of us who have obeyed from the heart of the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, he requires us to have a certain type of What do you think that is?
Yes, y'all right on cue with me this morning.
He expects us to have a certain attitude. And that attitude is that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that he came from heaven, he died on the cross to reconcile the lost back to his Father. And so that attitude that we have helps us to understand, and it requires us to believe. It requires, come on y'all, us to believe that because we're in Christ Jesus, we're going to reverence him in our everyday life. Not only do it brings about a reverence in our everyday life, but it helps us to understand, I got the victory. That's right. I don't know about you. One day I'm going to leave here. And don't weep for me, because I plan to make heaven my home. So therefore, I'm going to live my life the way I'm supposed to, so I can show people that we have the victory. You know, you ever hang around people that are negative? Huh? Come on, y'all, work with me this morning. Ever hung around a bunch of negative folks? Boy, all out of their mouth, and by the you go in there looking like this, and by the time you leave them, yeah, ever hung around those people? Shame on you if you do, because I try not to hang around them. Because I already know you're going to pull me down or else I'm going to pull you up. And so the child of God must understand we have the victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 57. Thanks be to God that gives us the victory. Where? Through Christ Jesus. And then Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, be always abounding. Where?
In the work of the Lord.
In the heart. That's right. See, God's work is the harvest. And you and I, as God's people, must get out into the harvest. And when we understand that we have the victory in Christ Jesus, you know what it brings about? Eternal life. That eternal life is played out in our Christian walk. It's played out in such a way that eternal life helps us to see that I got the Spirit of God. And if I got the Spirit of God, it's the truth. I'm going to leave y'all alone. It's the truth that guides me and directs me in my everyday life. That's not the lesson. I just thought I'd drop that in on you. But the lesson this morning is talking about God's harvest. God has a harvest, and the harvest God has is the entire world. And he tells you and I that this harvest is truly plentiful, but there's only a few of you working. But you're in the vineyard. How many of us are in the vineyard are workers? How many of us are asleep? How many of us, y'all quiet. How many of us just giving lip service? Let me show you God's harvest. Matthew chapter 28 and round about verse number 18. The Bible says, Jesus said unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you when?
Always.
And see, and I'm learning, church, that when we keep him where he belongs in our everyday life, Satan does not stand a chance. Oh, he'll throw everything in his arsenal at you. But when you remember that he can't hurt you or harm you unless you give way to him, boy, that ought to make you excited, huh? Amen. That ought to make you motivated. Yeah, I'm glad one or two people understand what I'm talking about.
Amen.
The Bible says, teaching us to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded us. And Jesus says, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. See, God's harvest is the lost souls of the world. In our lesson text, Jesus tells about God's harvest. He says the harvest truly is plentiful, but there's only a few laborers. I'm reminded in Matthew chapter 22 and round about verse number 14. Jesus says many are called, but B-U-T, help me out, some English person. B-U-T, but. But the laborers are few. Jesus says many are called, but few are chosen. Are you one of the faithful chosen? Are you one of the edified chosen? Are you one of the workers that is chosen? Many of us have been called out of darkness into this marvelous light. Now that we're part of the harvest, what are we doing with it? John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 talks about the harvest that God saw. John, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." Luke 19 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." See, God's harvest is plentiful, and God requires you and I, as workers in the vineyard, to go out and seek and save the lost. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died. But the question is, do we really believe that Jesus is who he say he is? And if we believe that God is who he say he is, then you and I need to be busy in kingdom business and not in our own business. You know, sometimes we get wrapped up in our own business. I don't know about you. I tell people all the time, get out of your head. Ever got so deep in your head that the only head that matters was yours? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Church, I'm learning that you got to get out of this thing and get in the mind of Christ. See, the Jews had a problem with Jesus. They rejected him because they said he was the Son of God. John chapter 1 and round about verse number 11. The Bible says he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, and you know, in my Bible, I got me right there. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God, even to them that believed in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, the Jews rejected him, and thank God that he had a way for me.
Amen.
But the question is, do you believe God has a harvest? The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 53, and round about verse number 1, would talk about the coming of the Messiah. And in the process of talking about this coming Messiah, the prophet raises a question. Who shall believe our report? Do you really believe that God is who he say he is? Then the question has to come up, are you really busy in the harvest? A couple of points, and the message is yours. Point number 1, what's your attitude in God's harvest? Are you willing to empty yourself out for the cause of Christ? Or are you just merely sitting in the church, sitting on the premises, and standing on the outside? Sometimes I wonder, church, do we really understand the harvest? And I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about myself. Because if we really understand that God has placed you and I into this harvest, why has he placed us here? To seek, to save the lost, and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. James chapter 1, verses 25 through 27. See, in this harvest, we must have the right attitude to be willing to work. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. In this harvest, you and I no longer can give lip service, but we really must be busy doing the will of the Father. In Matthew chapter 15 and round about verse number 7, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had the same mindset that maybe we have today. Jesus says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy, saying, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their hearts far from me." Why would Jesus say that about his people? Because it's true. Teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. It is time, it is high time, church, that you and I get busy in the harvest. You know, I'm learning the best way you can show somebody that Jesus Christ is alive and well is they see it in your everyday life.
All right.
And when you open your mouth, you ought to just blow folk away. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you're going to speak as the oracles of God. Point number 2, are you a worker in God's harvest? Because if you're a worker in God's harvest, guess what? You got a responsibility. See, when these young kids come in here, whose job is that?
Ours.
No, it's the one person that signed up on the board back there. What you talking about? No. It's everybody's responsibility to teach the young. The older men are supposed to teach the younger men. The older women are supposed to teach the younger women.
Yes.
But what you gonna teach them if you don't know?
That's right.
Amen, Walls. Church, somewhere down the line in this harvest, everybody must understand that they have a responsibility. My responsibility is to proclaim the gospel and to remind you, to encourage you, stay on the right track.
Yes.
But what happens when you don't? It's my job to rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Why? Because Paul told Timothy, for the time will come. What time is it? Look at the time we live in. Who recognizes God? Or did we find out this morning that folks are mocking God? How many of us sitting here mocking him? You here, but where your mind at? Boy, I wish I could just look through you. And just see where your mind. See, because in the harvest, you need to understand, like I'm learning, that everybody has a responsibility. See, a worker in the harvest, this is his mindset, this is his attitude. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and round about verse number 1. Look at what Paul says. Paul says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, he is not crowned except he do it God's way." In the harvest, that requires each and every one of us to be busy. That means that when it's time to do kingdom business, nothing on this time side of life ought to take precedence over his business. But it does, don't it? Mm-hmm. Me, myself, and I come before the Lord. You don't have to say it. It's evident and how we live our lives. Third point and final point. Are you one of the few, or are you one of the few that's in the labor of the vineyard? See, like in the days of Noah, it was hard to find workers to go in his vineyard. Noah spent about 120 years building an ark, warning God's people that God is going to destroy the world. They mocked him. They laughed at him. They probably called him all kinds. You know how we get on, folk? Look at him. And the Bible says, I want you to look at this. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. And round about verse number 20. The Bible says, which in time were disobedient. See, God has always had disobedient children. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm glad that he's always had a few.
Okay, now.
Yeah. The Bible says, in the day of Noah, they were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the day of Noah, while the ark was being prepared. And I want you to get this, wherein few, that's eight souls, were saved by what? Eight, two, one. Which one are you? You one of the eight? You one of the two? Or you zero? In this text here, the harvest of God is truly plentiful. But where are you? See, a true laborer is an individual that has prepared himself for service in the kingdom. This, his attitude is beyond his physical man, and it goes to the spiritual man, that where he's ready to do the will of the Father and nothing sidetracks him, nothing stops him, nothing hinders him, because he understands that in the harvest, God expects him to worship him in spirit and in truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2. As I close, and round about verse number 24, I want to show you One of the few is this is individuals like this. Look at what the Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach patience, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure, or if God perhaps will give them repentance, to the acknowledging of the truth, and they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. But see, a true servant of the Lord is ready. He understands his mission, his goal. Conclusion, God has a harvest. Are you a worker in the harvest? Or have you found you a nice shade tree and have fallen asleep? I want to encourage his church, the harvest is plentiful, but God needs you to be one of the few in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Hope I've said something this morning just to encourage your heart, church. The more and more I look at this text, just dealing with this compassion and dealing with what Jesus says in these few passages of Scripture, it helps me to understand that my job, my responsibility is a whole lot deeper than just proclaiming the gospel on Sunday morning. Right. It's a lifestyle.
Amen.
And in this lifestyle, it behooves me to bring as many folks to the cross by the example.
Amen.
And I'm learning that when you have the right example, you don't have to say much.
Right.
People will automatically understand who they are. Hope I've said something just to encourage your heart. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing a song of encouragement.